So, you are falling apart. No, we didn't hear that. Please welcome Phil Setzer as one of the violinists of the Emerson String Quartet. And we have a second guest. This is Sven Arne Tippel. He is he used to be a member of the Utrecht String Quartet, by now director of the Residential Orchest, and they met 10 years ago. 27 years ago. Please take a seat. In the middle, yeah. So, yeah. What do you remember? This is just because it was a very early start, wasn't it, Phil? For you.
This morning?
Yeah.
I'm still starting. Yeah, it's a little. I just pretended that I was on some other time zone and that I was getting up, my usual time of 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
It was actually 6:30. So. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I enjoyed it tremendously, the performance of Haydn. What do you remember of the meeting with Emerson String Quartet 27 years ago?
For me, it was my reason to go to the United States to study with them, study with Larry Dutton, the viola player, and that changed the whole course of my life as a player.
Really?
Yeah. I did have a Deutsche Grammophon recording of the Mozart String Quartets and the Bartoks, and I had never ever heard anything like that before. And I said, okay, I don't know these guys, but I want to meet them. And I think we met in Bonn in the Bahn of Hollandseck, and then I came to Zurich to audition for you guys, and then I was allowed to come to the States. And
in what sense did it change your life as a musician? Because that's something.
That's absolutely something. Well, it's a phase in your life also where you're still searching for, what you want to do. I did study with the Amadeus String Quartet and with Lupo Kuima, a very famous viola player. It changed my life in how I saw also how the four players interacted in a way in a string quartet and how they allowed each other's personalities. Because besides being amazing musicians, they're fantastic people, four totally different people. It was then with David Finkel still as cellist. But I was every time impressed by their fresh approach, every time going for new adventures, and the sheer professionalism of instrumentalists. I mean, being all four fantastic soloists and just going for this amazing repertoire. And Bartok String Quartet number 4 is from it. This is it. The Emerson Quartet is just, I'm still, we're talking 27 years ago, but still feels
good. Do you remember him?
No. No idea, of course.
No, but that's a responsibility. I mean, you're able to change the course of people's lives.
Well, I mean, that's... I feel like we're just passing on what was given to us, because we were so fortunate to have incredible teachers and mentors that we came in contact with, later played with. But our own... my teachers, when I was young, I grew up in Cleveland. I studied with my father first, who was in the Cleveland Orchestra. Both my parents were. And then Joseph Gingold, and then Raphael Durian. They were the concert masters of the orchestra, and then came to Juilliard study with Oscar Chomsky, which is where I met Gene. He was in Chomsky's class, and that's really where we began to play quartets as students in 1970. So this is 1970. But then we were working with Robert Mann, who just sadly passed away a couple weeks ago, for the first violinist, former first violinist of the Juilliard String Quartet. Was a great mentor to us and really encouraged us to stay together. So in our effort to pass this on, I mean, we met wonderful young players like Sven and so many interested and interesting young people along the way. And I mean, we weren't that old when we were teaching back then, but it's an important responsibility to teach, and we love it, but it's also a responsibility to keep what was given to us alive somehow, and then now Sven and his generation can pass that on, and that's how it stays alive.
we'll come back to the subject of teaching and young string quartets. Very interesting subject matter is, of course, leadership. Who is the boss in the Emerson String Quartet?
Nobody.
It's impossible. That's impossible. Somebody should take decisions.
No, there really isn't a boss. There never has been. And it's not a democracy either, because we don't vote on things and then the majority wins. It's a process. We discuss things. We don't always agree, but I think we learned very early on, rather than waste time talking for 20 minutes about how this particular phrase or this particular note should be played, in that amount of time we could try it 20 different ways and maybe settle on one way that we feel, depending on who feels the strongest, we may defer to that person or say, well, or some kind of compromise will come out of that. And we'll try that at the next concert. We'll come back after that concert and say, I know why you wanted to try it that way, but I don't think it really worked. Maybe we could slow it down a little bit before that measure or something. Somebody will bring something into it. And then when you get into the process of listening to performances, sometimes you think something works well, and then when you have the distance of the objectivity to listen to it, you realize that it doesn't. And of course, when you make recordings, it's a completely different process too, because you start, then it's permanent. And so the discussions sometimes become a little more intense, because it's not something you can just try this time in this slow movement of Beethoven or whatever, because this one is going to be permanent. But even with that, I think it's the same thing with actors when they're making films. They'll try it different ways, the different takes, and then later see how it works. And that's why it's important for us to do a number of takes, a number of variations of the way we're doing it.
So no boss.
No boss.
Is it so easy? I mean, what can you say about this process of leading a group of four people without a leader?
Well, it's interesting. Referring to your previous question, also, what did you actually learn, or what did you encounter when you met the Emersons? And that's actually what you also hear on the recordings in their way of playing. This maybe college shared leadership, I don't mind, but also it brings out this amazing texture of these four voices. Also, sort of, because I came from a tradition of the Amadeus Quartet, Cherubini Quartet, where there was a primarius and. We know also a famous Viennese quartet that doesn't play anymore, where the first violin was sitting a meter further away from the other three. I'm not going to say who it is, but I think...
if you know it, it's all over.
I think Larry knows her. And, but that's... and of course, first of all, I think what leadership is based on quality, on bringing an incredible professional attitude and knowledge and craftsmanship with you already, then you can share leadership. If you have somebody that has to pull others, but here in this quartet, of course, you have four outstanding people and personalities, and then you meet already on that level. I think it's very difficult, for me at least, to explain, also because I'm teaching string quartets, I work with them, but what does leadership mean? Is somebody giving a cue, or is it trying to pick up the expertise of the other three?
Yes.
I think it's the latter one, that you think, okay, how can you pick up everybody's expertise and allow that of that moment of performance? Because that's in the end what it's about.
So it's a shared leadership. Everybody's leading each other.
In a way, it changes. I mean, if someone has, even just within the music, if someone has the most important thing to say, we generally defer to that person, but there may be a discussion about the harmony or something underneath that. There's so much that can be done, and I think two things. I think that first of all, we probably do respond. It's like someone told my wife and me when we had our little baby, and they these were older people who had more experience with children, and this very dear friend of ours took us aside and said, I'm just going to tell you one piece of advice. choose your battles wisely. You can't fight every battle, because you're not going to win every battle, especially with a young child. The child is just not going to do it. But if you, and I think that's to some extent what we've done. If one of us feels really, really strongly about it, even if two of us do, then we'll get into a discussion about it. But often it's a case where, okay, I mean, I care about it, but if you really want to do it that way, let's try it. I'm not sure I'll like it, but I'll try it. And I think that's kept things open. The other thing that I was going to say is that we've had and I mentioned that it's not a democracy, because we decided early on, and when Paul came into the group almost 5 years ago now, we talked to him about it, he was fine with this. Rather than vote on something, which a lot of quartets do, and then let's say, you know, you have a majority, what happens when you have two and two, you know? But let's say there's a majority of three and one. Then three people are happy with it, and there's one person who's not. And we just decided that's not going to work in the long run. That's not going to work for a long time. So if one person doesn't really want to do something, whether it's how to play a particular note or a phrase or a dynamic, or take a particular concert, or take a particular train or airplane, or go or agree to do a post-concert, you know, whatever, then we don't do it. It's just, it's not like we may try to, well, we think it's important, but if that person says no, we just don't do it. It's made it work. Made it work for us.
Yeah,
in other words, everybody has equal veto power, and I think that's extremely important for a group.
Because then you stay honest to yourself.
Yeah. And more often than not, even if we don't really, if one of us really doesn't want to do something, more often than not, if the other three want to, he will say, okay. But if he really doesn't want to do it, then we shouldn't do it. Because there's one person who's going to be unhappy. And in the long run, it's like an infection, you know, it gets worse.
But that's because that's a subject that came up earlier already in the when you were working so intensely together. I mean, you have to do it with everything that you have as a person, but still there's so many moments that you...